Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1, 3, and 4 of 391.
This afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter, the first 30 verses, John 4, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or, Why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have, according to thy holy commandment, stopped a moment in this world. We have, according to thy holy commandment, on this thy Sabbath day, put away all the labors of our hands that have to do with this carnal life. And as we have gone and are going and passing through this world upon our short journey, and then we have stopped a moment upon thy day, and that we may consider, and that we may come into thy house of prayer, and that we may consider from where that we have come, and that we may think upon where that we are going, why that we are upon the face of this earth. O Lord, we beseech thee, it is thy holy day, and it is also thy own institution, and that we come up together on thy Sabbath day. And thou dost say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, all in whose name we try to come before thee. For we cannot come before thee in any other way. How can we approach as wretched and miserable, as guilty and polluted and corrupt sinners, and before thy holy countenance, and think that we are able to stand before thee outside of the sacrifice of thy dear and only begotten Son? O Lord, in his name, we do try to approach unto thee, and we do beseech thee that thou wouldest look upon us in and through him, and that thy anger may be taken away from us, and that we may be granted what is granted unto all through him, and that is that favor and that communion with thee. O, we beseech thee, and that thou wouldest work in us, who will never begin with ourselves. Lord, we have heard it out of thy holy word, and that thou must needs go through Samaria. Then it did lay between those two lands in the mid in thy providence. But thou hadst a higher purpose, for there was there a woman. There was there an elect vessel of mercy. She was a sinful woman. Lord, thou knowest each and every one of thy own. They are all the same. And they all need to be plucked as a brand from the burning. And thou knowest our hearts also, and what we do contain within us. O Lord, could it please thee that thou wouldest come? Could it please thee that thou must needs go through this congregation, even in this hour, and that there may be a work for thee to do. And thou art so almighty, and thou didst suffer thy blessed body to be weary here in this world. Thou didst pay the price for our sin, but thou also art that great spirit that is never weary, that does never sleep. O Lord, could it please thee then also to work with that same might and that power as thou didst arrest that woman in her sinful state, in her sinful condition, in her sinful life. Thou didst know it all. Oh, thou didst count her sins. As she had five husbands, thou didst know. And he whom she had was not her husband. O Lord, thou dost count our iniquities. We cannot count them. But thou art infinite, and thou knowest their number, from the smallest unto the greatest. And thou knowest what we deserve on account of them. O, there is not one of us that is able to stand before thee. Oh, could it please thee to come then with that same power, even in this afternoon hour, and that thou wouldest draw living waters out of the wells of salvation. Oh, thou didst give them unto her, and thou didst reveal thyself unto her as the Christ who was to come into this world. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how that we need the same thing. We need to be uncovered. And we need to be shown who that we are. And we need that thou would show unto us that blessed way of salvation. And we need that thou wouldest give unto us true saving faith. Oh, that our souls may be given to close with him. To agree with him. That we may be given to cast ourselves and by thy power upon him who alone is the refuge for those who cannot care for themselves, to protect them from the storm and from the tempest, from that great judgment that is approaching unto us. Oh, we see it not. We realize it not. We go as the simple to our destruction, knowing not what is before us. O Lord, we beseech thee for open eyes, that we may be given to be able to see, and that we also may be given a heart to believe, and that thou mayest deliver us from that eternal pit, wherein we do bring ourselves, each and every one of us, if thou dost not prevent. Oh, care for us, Lord, and take each one of us, both young and old, by heart and by hand. Oh, take us as thou didst unto a lot of old, and when thou didst take him by the hand, and thou didst lead him out of that city of Sodom, and thou didst say unto him, flee for thy life. Flee unto the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Oh, give, Lord, that we may be given to know what our state and our condition is, and what the reality of our fall is. Oh, that there may be a cry that goes out of our heart unto thee, the true and the living God, and thou who art able to deliver us from all our iniquities and all of our sins, and from all the punishment that is due unto us. Oh, it should be such an honor, Lord, to thy dear Son, when we would be taken from nature's darkness and be brought into thy marvelous light. Oh, would we not magnify and glorify thee with our dear children, with our grandchildren, to that never-ending eternity. Oh Lord, it is a matter of life or of death. It is eternal life or it is eternal death. Oh, we need to be born again. That is all in thy hands. Lord, we beseech it of thee in this hour, because we stand also before this our flock, and we are so ignorant, and we do not know how to bring thy word. But Lord, it is all waiting upon thee. Oh, one word is sufficient to break the hard and the stony hearts by the power of thy most Holy Spirit. Oh, bless the means then to young and old to gather in this hour and care for all the needy ones. There is so much misery. There is so much suffering in the midst of this world because there is death. Thou knowest the widows. Thou knowest those that had surgeries. Thou knowest the very infants in the beginning of life, where they are in hospitals. Thou knowest all those that suffer from diseases. Thou knowest those who have not the capacity in their minds anymore. Those who have fearful minds. Lord, that thou may remember each and every one of them. Care for those that suffer abuse by the hand of others. And there are those in this world, even in the midst of our own lands, and that are sold into slavery, even the very young girls. Lord, thou knowest each one of them in their fear, and in all of their misery, oh, deliver them, Lord. Care for those that are oppressed. Look upon our children in our schools. Oh, give them love for one another, and that they may not abuse one another. Oh, that they may be kind to one another, and that thou would care for those who may be bullied. Lord, remember our children. Oh, they must experience already in their youth the consequences of our sin. And it is the sin of the fathers, and that is given unto the children by way of inheritance. For who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst forgive our sins, and that thou wouldest look in mercy upon our children and our grandchildren, and that thou may cause thy spirit to work also in them. Help parents when they are caring and instructing their children in their own homes. Give diligence, give faithfulness, give the tender fear of thy name. And that thou may look upon those who have no children, those who are unmarried, those who have burdens in the midst of this world. Lord, bring to thy footstool, look upon us in all the needs of land and people. Thou knowest what is taking place also in our own country. Lord, thou knowest the place of those who are in power in the midst of this world and the elections. Oh, we beseech thee, and that thou mayest have mercy upon us, and that thou mayest bring us back again to thy law and to thy testimonies, to give us men who do fear thee, to rule over the land, for thou art able to touch the hearts of those that do rule and reign over us, and that thou would give in the midst of this our land, and that there may be on every side men who would stand for thy truth, and that thou wouldst put away the evil amongst us. And wilt thou not deal with us as nations, according to our many sins? Remember thy servants, be with the student, the instructors, help them, the mission field, all that labor therein and prepare to labor therein. Be with us in this hour, Lord, and all thy servants that do go forth to bring thy word. Oh, there is nothing, and there is nothing from the side of a man, and that he is able to speak to convince a man in the midst of this world, because it is not and by a human suasion, but it is by the most efficient and the most powerful work of thy most Holy Spirit. Oh, we beseech it then of thee alone, who can give it unto us undeservedly, in the name of thy dear and most beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 392, stanzas 2 through 5. Lord, what is man? What hath he wrought, the Son of Man, that in thy thought to hold him thou dost deign? For man is like a breath, a sigh. His days on earth as quickly fly as shadows o'er the plain. 2 through 5 of 392. beloved congregation, when the Lord Jesus prayed that high priestly prayer that we read in John 17, and then he said that this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That knowledge of God, to know thee, is not just a knowledge in our intellect. It is much more. It is an experiential knowledge. It is actually the knowledge of a relation. Thus the Lord Jesus speaks about reconciliation with God. Do we have a desire to be reconciled unto God? By nature, we do not. The Lord Jesus says that we are to have our treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. But we do not. And why do we not? Because we have no heart to it. Where our treasure is, our heart is, and our treasure is here in this world, and there our heart is also. By what means does the Lord give a change in such a heart? That is, by what means does the Lord work a new birth with different desires and different longings? You know that, children, what is the means? You say that is the Word of God, that is reading the Word of God when you are in your own home, and that it is a special way, the preaching of the Word of God, that He through the hearing and might deliver His own people. And now in that word, the Lord declares who He is. That is necessary. Why? Because we do not know that. We do not know that. We did know that. We knew that in our creation, who that God was. But we do not know that anymore, after our fall. But it is now declared in the Word of God. Do we desire that we might know who God is? There are certain things we can know from the creation. Many things, actually, that we can know of Him. We can know, for example, His existence from the creation. We can see something of His wisdom in the creation. But there are some things that we cannot know from the creation. And He has therefore given unto us His Word. Well, you say that cannot remain in the Word. Cannot remain in the Word. No, that has now to come in my heart. And how shall that now come in my heart? Well, the Apostle Paul, he says, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think. Think on these things. And that is the way now. And that the Lord brings them into our heart. This we wish with the help of the Lord to meditate on in this afternoon hour. From the words of our text, which you can find in the portion read to you, John 4, The first few words of the 24th verse, John 4, verse 24, the first part, only these words, God is a spirit. So far, the words of our text. Our theme is the same. God is a spirit. The first place we want to consider what a spirit is. And second, what God's spiritual nature is. So God is a spirit. What a spirit is. And second, God's spiritual nature. God is a spirit. Who says that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who would know as he knows who God is? Because he is God's son. Because he is God himself. Because he is one with God. Thus, when the Lord Jesus speaks, he speaks with great authority. Or if it would only then sink down with weight and with power into our ears and into our hearts and with life and with sweetness also into our heart. To whom does he say this? We read that it is a woman of Samaria, and that is a wonder that he is speaking to this woman, and the disciples are surprised at it. They would not speak like this to this woman. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, but with Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. And if we are too high to speak unto our neighbors in the midst of this world, then we do not follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to speak unto this woman who had a soul. Who had a soul just as every one of the Jewish nation has a soul. The Lord Jesus, we read here, had dealings. Dealings with this woman, and she was, at least in an outward way, an especially sinful woman. That is the people he came for. Right? Those who are sinful. That is why he was speaking to this woman. No. He will not allow them to continue on in that sin. But he will uncover their sin. Did the Lord ever begin to uncover your sin? That is what he did with this woman. Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thine husband. Thus, it begins to come out into the open, and the Lord Jesus shows to her that he knows her. Oh, did you ever experience that the Lord knows you? That the Lord knows every one of the iniquities that are living in your heart. For that woman that was outwardly known unto her people. But how many of our iniquities are known to no one? Or we say the greatest part. Oh, there is maybe this or maybe that which is known to everyone. But the greatest part is known to no one but to me and to the Lord. Oh, did the Lord ever show you that he is counting, as it were, every one of the thoughts, every one of the motives, the evil motives that are living in our heart? Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Oh, yes, woman, and much more than a prophet, but that woman is, we would say, just in the beginning. When the Lord is giving her already this perception of himself. Thus, in that new life, then there is an uncovering of sin. But that is not all there is. What do you think that life is, young people? Do you think that that life that is something that is not delightful? Or read the canons of Dort about regeneration. And they will say in there that that is something that is most delightful. You say, how can that be? If the Lord begins to open to me the filth and the guilt that is living in my heart, that that can be delightful. And yet it is the truth. You can ask any one of that people, there is such a drawing then in our heart after him. And when the Lord begins working with this woman, and he begins opening to this woman what her life is and what her sin is, then he plants also something else in her heart. And that is, that she wants to worship. She wants to worship. Did you ever have a desire to worship? You say we do worship. We come to the house of God. Yes, that woman had a certain worship too. Then she had a question about that worship. And what was that question? That is that now the true worship? Is that the true worship? That was the contention between the Samaritans and the Jews. The one said the true worship is this. The other said the true worship is something else. And now, do you ever say in your heart, I come to the house of God, and I read the word of God, and I sing the word of God, and I fold my hands and I try to pray to God. But do I worship him? Do I worship him? Or I feel that it is not true worship that is in my heart. And now that woman experienced something. She experienced that the Lord Jesus knew her. That was very personal. And of all the people in the world, then she knew, because the Lord Jesus opened up to her personally what her life was. And so that woman experienced something between him and herself that went into her heart. And he went into her heart. And now that woman, she says, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He now can tell me, what is that true worship? The Lord Jesus instructs her. And we hope to hear more about that next time. But now in the midst of that instruction, he says to her, God is a spirit. Why does he say that? Well, because it is not possible to worship God unless we know who we worship. Thus, that is, as it were, the foundation, the object of worship. Who that he is, because the Lord says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, neither shalt thou worship me through any graven image. Thus he says, you must know whom that you worship. I will be worshipped as I truly am, and I will not be worshipped as who I am not. What did the Israelites do? What did What did Aaron make boys and girls for the Israelites at Mount Sinai when Moses went up into that mountain? Then what did Aaron make for them? He says, give me your earrings and all your gold. And he formed for them a calf, a golden calf. You say that was wicked. Yes. Why wicked? He said, because the calf, he did not bring them out of the land of Egypt. No, they did not believe that. They did not believe that at all. But they wanted to worship God, the true God, through that calf. And they would make an image of God. And when they made that image of God, a representation of God, that was extremely offensive unto God. Say, why? But what did they make? What did they make? If someone wanted to honor you and would make a representation of you as some kind of an animal in this world, then you say, I would be greatly offended. And why would you be greatly offended? You say, well, that is an insult. And why an insult? Because that is an animal. That is an animal. And I am not an animal. No. And what is the greatest difference between you and the animals? Well, you say, I have a soul. Yes. It is the rationality of mankind. You say there is no comparison between a man and an animal. Thus, it is extremely degrading, even for a man, to be so worshipped, to be honored, as it were, through an animal. We do not worship God through idols, right? Right, boys and girls? We don't do that. No, not through images. But now I want to ask you a question. What image, what kind of a picture do you have of God in your mind? In your mind. Who is God? That is a very important question. Thus, do we have an image of God in our mind, by which we try to worship Him, which is very degrading to Him? The Lord Jesus, He says to this woman, God is a spirit, when she is asking about the true worship. Thus, what is a spirit? A spirit, we say, that is the life, that is the vital principle, that is the animating principle, the moving principle that is in all of those who have life. That is, even in an animal, he is said to have the spirit, a certain kind of a spirit. And mankind, he has a spirit. There is an animating principle in everyone who has life. And so we speak about alcohol, we say those are spirits, or the mineral spirits that we use, we say they are very thin. If you will touch them, then they will feel to you to be very, very thin, to be thinner than water even. They are what we call distillates. They are essences, and they have been separated from the bulk of the material out of which they have come. But we say that is now the living part. That is now the animating. That is now the vital part. Solomon says, look not thou on the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Thus, the wine, they're called spirits. They are the essence, and that is moving. There is something, as it were, living in it. That vital part. So in the days of Noah, we read also that the Lord has destroyed from the earth everything that had breath. And that is where the Latin word is coming from, breath, and that what it means. To be a spirit, that is to breathe. So you know what the breath, what our breath is, children. It is also sometimes referred to as the wind. David speaks about the spirit of tempest, the wind that the Lord would rain down upon those who were wicked. You know, the Lord Jesus says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's the Spirit that is likened unto breath, that is likened unto the wind. In the next place, we read in God's Word that Solomon speaks about the patient in spirit, the proud in spirit, the hasty in spirit. That is their vital animating part. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. His spirit, that living part, all that animates him, whatever infirmity that he has, his spirit, his character, his nature, that will sustain him in his infirmity. Caleb is said to have another spirit. Another spirit than who? Than all of the other spies. They had a spirit, something that animated them. It was not the spirit of God. No, but Caleb's spirit, that was from God himself. And that is what animated him to do what he did. And then we see the fruits of that spirit. The spirit of whoredoms. Oh, that is something that the Lord has said that the Israelites had. They're animated. They were moved by this evil spirit. So there is no movement of the body without the spirit, because that is what is bringing forth that movement. And now the Bible speaks about the devils. They are the evil spirits, and the Bible speaks about the angels. They are also spirits, and they have no material. They are immaterial. The spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have, the Lord Jesus said. So there is no embodiment. It only is consisting of that vital part, that animating part. And so also the Bible speaks about men, about the souls of men as spirits. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? He knows the things of a man. He is that man. And those spirits that are in man are sometimes said to be stirred up. They are animated by the Lord. Paul, his spirit was stirred up that he would bring the children of Israel into captivity. And then Cyrus later, whose spirit the Lord stirred up, moved that he may deliver that people to let them go. Thus, a spirit that is not a material substance. It is the life. It is the active principle in men, the consciousness, the thing that thinks, the thing that feels, the thing that wills. The spirit of a beast, we read, that goes downward to the earth, that dies, it vanishes. But the spirit of man is different than the spirit of the beast. That spirit goes upward. But now the Lord Jesus says, God is a spirit. So what does it mean now that God is a spirit? Let us sing first from Psalter 15. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim in the heavens with radiant signs. Evermore thy glory shines. And what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 15. God is a spirit. First, what a spirit is. Second, God's spiritual nature. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrews saying, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Thus God is called in God's word the Father of spirits. There is no more spiritual being than God. More spiritual than men. More spiritual even than the very angels. What is now the most noble part of man? That is not our clay tabernacle. That is our soul. That is the vital part. That is the animating part. So the capacity for goodness or for badness, that does not lie in our body. The animals do not know this. They have a body too. But that lies within our soul, within our spirit. God is a spirit. He is nothing but that noble part that is in all of its purity. Nothing else. He is the Father of spirits. The animals are not able to perceive the spiritual nature of God. Why not? They do not have themselves that same kind of spiritual nature. Eyes see light. Ears hear sound. Eyes do not see sound. Ears do not hear light. There has to be a congruency between them. Thus the carnal things perceive things that are carnal, and spiritual perceives that which is spiritual. And when we say man is spiritual, then we do not mean that man has spiritual life in the sense of a new birth, no. But we say man has a soul and that he is a spiritual being, not like the animals. Thus, having that spirit, man has an obligation. And what is that obligation? That obligation is that he would know God's spiritual nature. Animals have not that obligation. We knew that nature of God in paradise. We have lost the knowledge of that nature of God. The Lord Jesus condemned that man who had one talent and he buried it in the earth. And what is now that talent that the Lord has given to men over the beast, that is to have that spirit, that soul, and the ability created with the ability, the capacity, that we might know also the spiritual nature of God. Of course, we can never fully know that spiritual nature of God. Why not? Because we are encumbered. We are encumbered with carnality. We are encumbered with our earthliness. And now the Lord condescends to that. What does he do? He shows to us himself by the use of figures. He speaks about his hands. or his eyes, or his feet, or his mouth. And God has no hands or eyes or feet or mouth because he is a spirit. Why does the Lord do this? That is because we are so carnal. We are so ignorant and the Lord is so good. But that does not mean that we may have any carnal conceptions of who God is. Because the Lord has given to us rationality, a soul, and thus that soul that ought to rise above all of those things that it may attain to the knowledge of that spiritual nature of God, who that he is. God is a spirit. Why did the Lord Jesus not say the Father is a spirit? Because the Lord Jesus has been speaking here of the Father. He says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then he changes. He does not say the Father is a spirit. No. He says God is a spirit. Why? Well, the Father, that refers to a person. One of the persons in the Trinity. But now the word God, that is referring to the essence. The essence of the being of all three persons of that Holy Trinity. God is a spirit. He does not say God is spiritual. No, he says God is a spirit. So spirituality, the spiritual nature of God, is not merely an attribute. No, God says, I am understanding. I am understanding. He is the eternal mind. We have some understanding, an understanding that is greatly diminished in the fall, but we have not lost that attribute that we have understanding above the animals. We did not become a beast. Man is still a rational creature. And now think about that, young people. Does our understanding, your understanding, does that understanding have a body? You say, no. My understanding itself does not have a body. Understanding is very, let me say, fluid. Your understanding is very, very thin. Your understanding is thinner even than the air that is all around us. God is a spirit. The air is very fluid. The air goes to anywhere, you see. Will seep into anywhere. But now, to compare God even to air, because there were some, they said that in the ark, and inside of the ark, yeah, was nothing. Then there was in their air, and that is now the picture of God. But God cannot even, the Spirit of God, to picture him as air is actually limiting that Spirit of God, because that Spirit is thinner than the air. The Spirit can go into places even where the air is not able to come. Our understanding, that is much freer than the air. Thus the most fluid things that we may have in this world If they are to be compared to God, they are too restrictive. Too restrictive to compare God to them. God is a spirit. There is no place where God is not. David says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Behold, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. God has no body. God is not made out of any physical substance. He is spiritual substance. The least body that God would have would restrict him. Physical things have limits. God has no limits. God is a spirit. There are even places where light cannot go, where God does go. We read that God clothes himself with the darkness that is around him as pavilions. So he is even in the midst of darkness. That is a place where light, you say, but it's more fluid than light. Where can light not go? And now God goes and is in places even in hell, where there is no light. It is a place of outer darkness, where the Spirit of God is. God is a spirit. Mineral spirits, young people, you know. You study that in school. They are separated from petroleum oil, right? There is a distillation process. And in that process, then they are separated out. So when they separate them out, then you say they are pure. It's not a mixture anymore. It is just a pure substance. God is a spirit. He is only pure spirit. We say, we have the word simple. God is simple. What does that mean? That God is not complex. He is not made up of different parts. That's what we mean by complex. But he is only one thing. And because he is only one thing, he is unchangeable. What is change? How do we make change? Well, all we do with the elements is we combine them and we separate them and then we change them. But we cannot destroy them. Right? You burn a piece of wood in the campfire and you say, well, then it is gone. No, it is not gone. It is changed. Parts are now separated from each other. Some are in the air and some are there in the ashes, but none of them are gone. And now God is not made of parts. You cannot get rid of the elements. What happens to man? He is subject to change. And man has parts. He has a natural part and he has a spiritual part. What is death? That is to separate them. And then the body goes into the grave and the soul returns unto God who gave it. That is not possible with God. When man's soul returns to God who gave it, his soul, that cannot die. Why can it not die? Because it is not made of parts. It is one whole. It is like the elements on the earth that you cannot destroy. Because it is just a single thing. And now God, he is also made of one thing. And that is why that God is unchangeable. It is impossible for God to change even himself. That is by virtue of what? That is by virtue of his spiritual nature. God is a spirit. That means that God is invisible. Can you see your soul? Can you see your soul? Do you think, young people, that invisible things exist? I cannot see them. Can you see your soul? Does that exist? You say, I know it exists. Because I can think, and I feel, and I will. And now so also other spirits, they are invisible. The angels are invisible. We cannot see them when they are doing their work. The devils are invisible. We are not able to see them. And so John says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, he hath declared him. He hath spoken of him, of his existence. You say at Peniel, Jacob saw God. Jacob was said to see God face to face. That was not a physical seeing, though. That was a spiritual seeing. That was a spiritual manifestation of God unto the soul of Jacob. That means that God was very near to him. That speaks about his omnipresence. That speaks about his condescension, that he is everywhere, even near to such a sinful man as Jacob was. When Moses was in the mount, then God said to Moses, no man shall see my face and live. And yet something of the glory of God passed by Moses, not in its full extent, because Moses could never bear that. How great is the glory of the sun, but you cannot look at it. You cannot look at the sun. You can only look at what the sun is reflecting. That is because of the greatness of the glory of the sun. One day the church is going to be made capable of looking upon the glory of God. But now Paul says that we see through a glass darkly. Thus, God is a spirit. The wine that moveth itself within that cup. And when that Spirit of God that is coming within a man, that is moving him, that is influencing him, that is animating him, that is giving him life, that vital principle, God is a spirit. He is not encumbered by any body. No body hinders the activity of God, the activity of the Spirit of God, because it is the active part. The Spirit is the active part, and God is the Father of spirits. That means that there is no more action, no more active part in this world than the Spirit of God, that is thinner than the air, that is thinner than the light, that goes into every place in this whole universe, doing whatever that he wills. And when he goes with his Spirit, he is governing everything that is taking place in this universe. He is entering into the mankind here in this world to influence every single thing that is taking place in this world, that he may bring his own eternal counsel to pass. Oh, how that nature of God or to make us stand in awe of him. Because he is congregation everywhere how loathsome that we ought to feel in the sight of this great Spirit. There is not an action, there is not a word in our tongue, there is not a thought in our mind, there is not a motive that is living in our heart that is not known every single moment by this great Spirit. Paul says, neither is any creature, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Manifest. All open. All open before him. Before whom that we have to do. Oh, did you ever abhor yourself? Moment by moment, there is no secret place in the world where that Spirit of God is not. Oh, when we go upon our knees, the Lord Jesus speaks here about worship. The Lord willing, we hope to consider that more next time. But he speaks about worship. And now when we go upon our knees, then we are to know, the Lord says, who it is that we approach. God is a spirit. He dwelleth, we read, on high. Yes. That is in the greatness of his glory. Because we could not bear that glory, we cannot even bear to look upon the sun. How should we bear the glory of God here upon this world? Oh, he dwelleth on high, and yet he humbleth himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. He does not need to come, but he is here. He is everywhere. He is very near. You know what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples? He says, oh, look not here or there. They will say where that kingdom of God is going to come in an outward way. He says, no, the kingdom of God is within you. Within you. Thus God is a spirit. He is within also our own bodies. Recording. Recording. Every action, every word, every thought, every motive that is being recorded by him every moment. And he is exercising his power every moment to restrain himself from cutting us off. From cutting us off as we walk through this world looking for our own honor. Looking for all the material things in this world. And he knows. And he is there. And he is in his long suffering. Not yet cutting us off. God is a spirit. And he is also animating. Animating. Oh, he delights. It is his great delight to give his Spirit, to give that Spirit unto men. Or do you realize how close that the Lord is? Or when we go on our knees, or remember, boys and girls, that the Lord is there. That God is a spirit. That he is very near. Oh, do not sin against him. But to fold your hands and close your eyes. and to ask the Lord, "Oh, wilt thou give me also thy Spirit, that life, that new life, that it may animate me, that I may receive that vital part that thou hast, and that I may be restored again into thy image. Amen." O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are carnal, sold under sin, and we can have so little right conception in our minds, in our souls, of who that thou art. But grant it unto us by the application of thy own Spirit, that we might receive saving impressions in our souls through the meditation of who that thou art, that we may be kept from sin, that we may be made to fear thy name in truth. Wilt thou bring us safely home? It is thy day. Thou knowest it, and we know it too. But give us on this thy day to keep it holy, that we might seek thee, O thou great and holy Spirit, and that thou may do for us that great miracle that we cannot do for ourselves. Forgive and take away our many sins. Bless these few simple words. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is 382, 1 through 5. Lord, thou hast searched me and dost know where'er I rest and where'er I go. Thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in thy hand. 1 through 5 of 382. the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.